perfections in their home, but they literally like the rawness of, I mean,
others.
You know, the rawness here to London is very different. People would be surprised because a lot of the people in London would keep it, you know, because, oh, I can't be bothered. Oh, it's too tiring. And here, they would push me, you know, they would push me in that way. They would question me. So for me, I have a good relation. I mean, you know, I get the best coffee. I get, you know, I might pay a little bit more for my shoes, but I know it's, that's how I grew up somehow here. The quality of life, you know, I go to the hospital, it's spotless, it's clean, you know. So there's a lot of things that I have that they've given me and that I have contributed to myself, you know, and that freedom that I have now as an older generation, and knowing that everything would be taken care of if you are disciplined enough and if you pay your way or whatever it is. So for me, it's turning out slowly but surely to be one of the best countries in Europe. That's opening the door with cautiousness, but opening the door for the other generation that is coming. They are trying. So I feel good here. Today, I don't take anything. I'm not that emotional like I used to be. I don't take things that personal. Okay, maybe because I'm older, I've heard it. You know, if they would come there and they would say it, I'm just, you know, and I'm gone. You know.
You're still there?
You know, I've moved on, man, you know. Yeah. So, you know, but they are moving on themselves. The fear is with the situation in Europe with all this far right and all the rest of it, that worries me a bit because, you know, the moment there is unemployment in the country and stuff like that, they start looking on to the, you know, to the minority, you know, thinking, oh, they stole my job or they took my job or they took this or she's got a car when I don't have one or when I don't have a job. So I do worry about that in this last couple of years. But other than that, it is still one of the best countries in the world to live if you can stomach a few.
Yes, I think this idea of being mothered by Switzerland, I can relate to because it is constantly teaching me patience, like patience and also regulation. You know, it's like the good and the bad are constantly swinging. The pendulum is like, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about like this anxiety. You know, I was never an anxious person until I got here. And one of the things that makes me deeply anxious is time. Like time management, it's not my skill. I constantly feel like there's something sitting on my neck, but also this feeling that I'm doing something wrong. Mm. Like I feel like everyone's a policeman. You know what I mean? Like everyone's a policeman.
There is a tendency of that.
There's a tendency to police, you know? So this also increases my anxiety.
Yeah.
But then it also creates this need to rebel against it somehow, you know? And I was in like a shop the other day and the person was working in the shop. So I feel like I have the right to ask them like, hey, where is such and such? Or do you have such and such? And she was like, look around. And I was like, ew. Like, you work here. This is your job. Like, hello. Like, this is your job. You don't have, but you can at least do your, you know what I mean? And then I was like, oh my God, I'm policing her. I'm doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm also, this is so sort of like, it's this push and pull, you know?
Yeah.
But I have to say, when I think of myself at 70, I'm not too sure if I see myself here. You know, I've still never gotten to a place where I say, this is home. And I'm curious as to whether you have that feeling. And if so, what was how long did it take to get to that moment where you can be like, yeah, this is home, or accept it as? Because I still feel like I'm visiting 10 years later.
I asked my therapist about this once. I was like, why am I here?
every day. I
asked why am I here? And then he said, you wouldn't, because I was like, this is such a challenging place to live. Why am I still here? Mm-hmm. And he was like, you wouldn't be here if you didn't want this challenge, mm-hmm. right? You would go somewhere easier. And I have to say, inside of this idea also of positive things that Switzerland has given me, I think I am the most me that I would ever be in a universe, in a multiverse kind of way, because Switzerland really questions who you are, why you're here, and if why you think you're a value constantly, you know, mm-hmm. and that like to exist here, you have to be so good with yourself. You know, if you're born here, I imagine it must feel somehow different because people don't leave. They always come back here for the most part. But like, I really feel like as a foreigner, you have to be good with you. Otherwise, this is why so many people, when they can, they leave. Mm.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I have, because I'm much older, and don't worry, maybe you will be here at 70. But, you know, the thing is, I've heard this sort of discussion before, mm-hmm. and the time passes, the time goes yeah. quick, you know.
I'm having anxiety now.
No, please don't.
No, I'm joking. Yeah.
But, you know, you have to add the pros and the cons, mm. you know. Sometimes we think the grass is greener in another place or in another country or what have you. And you have to look, for me personally, I had to look at the reality. I did not want, I thought after a month I would be gone, mm. you know, really. But, you know, I saw, I had to be honest with myself. Why should I go back to London, the situation that I left behind, and go back in there, you know? And so for me, this is my home. I still think I might leave, you know. I'm still looking, mm. you know. But I'm not leaving because I'm black or race, none of that. I'm leaving because the cost of living here is very expensive, mm. you know. I mean, you know, you compare this to Portugal or all these other countries, and I've been to all these countries, you know, you'd be amazed how expensive this country is. And if mm. you a retired woman like I am, where you know your salary is not the same, you don't get a full salary every month, you have to try to be able to manage with that. Mm. And and that money that you get here, you can live very well in another country. Mm. So for me, this is itching, you know? I mean, that's why I was away again, you know? Mm. I'm looking, you know? But at the end of the day, I think I would accept living here. Mm. My fear is that, I don't know about the European blacks, but, you know, where I came from, you know, I would be taken care of by my daughter and my grandchildren. They've told me that, you know. I feel better about this, you know. I told them, are you sure when I'll be there dribbling and stuff like that? They said, yes, grandma would be there. So that's a sort of a piece, because this is what we do. You know, when you are old and you can't take care of yourself, your children take care of you. You know, mm. and so for me, that is that has been sorted. But I am a very strong, independent woman. I like to do what I want to do. I like to wake up when I want to wake up. I do not want to hear them hoovering the floor while I am sleeping. You know, mm. so I will go my way. But I find it. But I think I can manage to live here.
Mm-hmm. I think like if I picture myself in Switzerland, I find it hard after all of this privilege to imagine leaving it. I'm really honest. Like the quality of life, the money, the financial security, the health insurance, like all of this access to like a certain quality of life. When I go back to the US and I see my family that doesn't have insurance and like they can't go to the doctor, this makes me really think twice about going back to the United States. Mm. And I think I've networked myself inside of the system well enough that I can, with my distance from it, access it good. And I feel like it would be silly for this moment in my life to leave here and, for example, go start somewhere else, because I really feel like I explained before, like I know I get the game and know how to use it. I can help myself. I can help other people inside of it.
But you're still young, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 40. I'll be 45 this year.
Yeah, you're still young.
But I mean, I was in the U.S. last Christmas, and then I was in the supermarket, and I had to pick up some stuff for my mom. And I remember there was a person next to me, and they ordered American cheese, and then I started to cry because I thought, who eats American cheese? And this is really the moment where I was like, okay, I'm definitely not from here anymore. Like, this is some...
You have cheese standards.
Yeah, I have cheese. I've become... Switzerland has ruined my cheese standards. No, that I don't feel connected. I mean, definitely now, politically. Anyways, I mean, what? Open it up. Where would you go? Where do you even go anymore? It feels hard to say like one place is better than the next, or there's like a better place to go. Is there? Do you feel like there's a better place to go?
I think every place has its good and bad sides. It depends what your values are, what your needs are. Mm-hmm. You know, like I need sunshine. Like that's just who I need sunshine. I need juicy fruit, like fruit that has actually also been in the sun.
Yeah.
But I do also need money because life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think my issue is that I haven't figured out how to play this game.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it takes a while to figure out how to play this game. I'm still like if I have to make an official call, I have to do breathing exercises before. Like, I have to call the Gemeinde. You know, when I open my mailbox, I'm like, okay, who is this? Yeah. Who is this? What, you know? So I still have this, like, I'm holding my breath. And if I could find a moment of exhaling, perhaps it would feel more homely to me, but I still feel like I'm being watched, policed, or I'm doing something wrong. So I think that's kind of maybe the turnaround.
I think for me, I've always got to train myself. Don't take things for granted, and also learn to come out of my comfort zone. Mm. That's a problem here because we are very comfortable. We can't deny it. You know, all the necessary things that you need, as I said before, the hospitals and everything is there. And I have seen a lot of these things in different countries. But like you said, again, for me, it's the sun. I was just in the sun and I was having pain everywhere. They're gone, you know. The sea, I need the sea. I know the lake is there, but, you know, it's different. You know, the sea salt, I believe in it. It cleanses the soul, the mind, and everything else. But at the same time, you know, I think this is what it is, you know. When you are, what do you call that again? There's a name for it, but I can't remember. When you see you are a foreigner in another country, expats, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Bad word.
I always say immigrant. Yeah, I think the difference between expat and immigrant is money.
I know,
So I'm an immigrant.
Well, you know, that and the other one. But I just really think for me is that I will do it because it's necessary if it will bring me further into a much better situation. I am in a good situation and maybe I don't even see it because I'm so comfortable. You know, I mean, I can't complain. Mm-hmm. But still, when I have to pay, when I pay 10 euro for breakfast, fantastic breakfast, and I have to pay about 20, 30 francs for that here, it does make you think, you know? And so for me, this is the question, you know? Would I be able to live in another... I mean, I have been, let's say, for instance, like Portugal, I've been there about 9 times because I really like it. But all of a sudden, I find it has too much graffiti. You know, everywhere, every house, everywhere. It really did put me off. But when I was there the first few times, I was really there I was just happy, you know, for the sun. And now I see that and I'm thinking... Really, can I live there with all this graffiti? And can I? The roads are not perfect like Switzerland. You know, it's not as clean. And you know, when they bring me a cup of coffee, it's like they put it. You know, and all the there's hundreds of things I've been thinking of. You know, and I find that I'm learning now to put that aside. You know, put it aside and see the like you said, the beauty, because there is a lot of beautiful things there and other countries. So let's see what the future holds.
Let's see. Okay. some questions that have to do with the work you do within communities and for communities here. So I'll start with you, Brandy. You do stuff with the Ausländer Beirat. First of all, what is that?
Okay, technically now it's the Ausländerin or the Ausländer Beirat.
Ausländer Beirat.
No, no, it's just that the gender, they try to make it that women are at the front of it. I would make it Ausländerin Beirat personally. So this is a board set up by the city because they realize that the city itself as a machine does not actually know what the needs of the community are. And so they created this kind of board with no real power per se, but what you do get is access. So you get to meet once a year, and in general, like once a year you have a meeting with your representative from the city. Mine is actually Corinne Mauch in the group that I'm in, who's the president of Zurich, or the mayor of Zurich. And you have,
honestly,
like,
I don't even know who the mayor is.
The mayor, it's Corinne Mauch.
Okay.
Yeah, she's okay. Quite okay. Then you have also like working partners, because my department, you can choose which group you want to be a part of. Mine is communication and culture. So we have like a working partner throughout the year from the cultural department. And then, for example, we can propose ideas. For example, the Zurich City Card was an idea from the Ausländer Beirat. Ausländerin and Ausländer Beirat, from the Beirat. So that was like the idea, like, what are you doing to make it more realistic for people? There are people here who are undocumented. They exist. How can we make a more just situation in which these people can access the city without feeling threatened constantly because they're here? And it passed. It just is taking a while to come into form. It's an ID card, for example, that the idea is everybody should have one. And if we all have one, then it's not clear who's documented and who's undocumented. So it's like really an ID card that they can access the city through. That was an idea from the Beirat. Or there's something new that just happened, which is like the idea that schools have to translate in multiple language the letters going home to the parents. This came from the Beirat. You know, just things, you know,
all
things that
letters.
People would think about. Yeah.
Just every letter, please.
Yeah, no, it's really like all the information that comes from the school, that it comes not only in German, because, it, you know, 50% of the kids in the city of Zurich speak two languages. Mm-hmm. So already this statistic showing you that like multiple children in the city don't have a parent at home that speaks German. So yeah, stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can influence very slowly and very steadfastly projects, ideas. You can pitch, you can also question and put pressure on, like the whole thing with Gessenarle from the Beirat. I put a lot of pressure on the city, asking them, like, what are you doing? How is this changing? What was the results? Have you asked yourself, like, the question that got asked through this experience with Experitheater was an important question. What is happening to this question? You know, things like this, that where you can force the city to respond to issues that are important to different migrant bodies within the city.
Mm. Yeah. This is so important, very important, you know, translating, you know, in all these different languages.
Yeah.
So important. Yeah. Because, you know, anyway.
I mean, even just the website of the city, just this year, you can translate it now. Up until then, it was, I mean, okay, you have Google Translate through the internet, but now they have their own system, which you can like click on, and then there's an AI that translates it. But just this year, you know, they know this, that like it's hard for people to learn German in a country, in a place where people don't speak High German, but you have to learn High German. Mm. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to know that it exists. I didn't know what it was, but it's good to know that it exists, and also that someone like you is on it. You know, I have no idea who's on it, but I'm already like somehow comforted that you are.
There's lots of really interesting people. Like when I went for they do like in every 4 years, there's a new legislation period. And every person who was in the room to be chosen was like somebody who had worked for the president in Mexico. This person is an architect. This person is a stay-at-home mom who is really interested in school politics. Like there just was really a beautiful, interesting mix of people who came to this from the first place. I think it also, there's, I think, 25 people in it.
Okay.
So it's quite a mix of people from like from different backgrounds, from different class statuses, from different countries. Like they try to make it really balanced in terms of where, for example, I think there's like a fair balance of people from the global south compared to like Europeans.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think perhaps it is this, like once you choose to have agency in this place and to like have some kind of influence intentionally, you feel more part of it perhaps.
This is why I joined it, because I felt like I'm doing all of these things anyways. I'm questioning the city constantly. I'm asking, why are you not doing more diverse, just projects? It's so easy to do this, it really is. And I felt like there's a wall I'm hitting because I'm just a somebody. I'm somebody in the city like who is just very interested and passionate about it, but I don't belong to an institution. Mm-hmm. I'm not from here. I can speak German well, but I can't write. Mm-hmm. So there were like access barriers that were standing in the way of me being taken like really seriously on a political level, like a cultural political level. And this I felt gave me like a different status inside of the machine of the city. Mm-hmm. Where like now I know I can call up, if I would call up the head of the cultural department before and be like, why is there no, for example, why is there no discussion about this open letter towards art institutions at the Theaterspektakel as a person? They took me not so seriously, where I feel like if I question these same things as a member of the BIDOT, it has definitely a different weight to it.
Mm-hmm. Playing the game.
Yeah, playing the game.
Paula, you have the ABC Center. Well, could you tell us a bit about that?
Look, this ABC Center have been on the website for years. Mm-hmm. And okay, let me be very honest. I didn't have much time for it. I had to go to work. It's been on the website for years, and the support haven't been there. But on the other hand, I wasn't behind it 100%. You know, mm-hmm. And I was tired. Mm-hmm. I was extremely tired because I started writing in 1989 about, today the Me Too movement is what I was talking about years back, mm-hmm. And that took a lot of pressure, and I was just very stressed and tired. And like you were saying, the wall, I wasn't allowed, I wasn't entitled. And after a while, I got tired of sitting on tables and talking, to so many different people. Mm-hmm. And I had the feeling, yes, they took the idea and do it themselves and or bring out a project. So the ABC Center was for, as I said to you, I'm with the women who start with nothing. And the ABC Center, ABC, we start from these letters. And so it was for that, teach them, because I did work with refugee women for at least almost a year, to teach them the little things that I knew about computer, to teach them German, the ones that I knew, and so many different things, mm-hmm. starting from really from the root of mm-hmm. when they came here, so that's what the ABC Center for, because I wanted to have the center where they could bring their children if they wanted to go to work, they could learn German there, they could have something once a month there, there was lots of ideas in there. So it's just there. If anybody wants to take it up, if anyone wants to construct it or do something with it, but it's not for the women who already have everything. Mm-hmm. It's for the women who start in, mm-hmm. who have very, very difficult lives, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to take that on. So that's what I do, and that's what I did. And for me, the next thing is that I continue to be an activist. Mm-hmm. Speaking my truth, but again for the working woman, mm-hmm. for the everyday person. Mm-hmm. I'm not in there with people who have all this stuff, mm-hmm. So that's what I do. I'll continue to do it, and if I still have the strength, because I'm no more 20, mm-hmm. I would, if anybody would support it, I would take it up. But I need the house. I need the money. I need the support, and mm-hmm. I need them to believe in what I do. So mm-hmm. this is it.
I mean, listening to you both as somebody who still feels outside, I feel like part of feeling inside has a lot to do with giving back to those, or giving with those who have a similar experience, people who have similar experiences in this place, in the beauty and absurdity of it all.
Yeah, because you cannot make space for your, like, it's, then you will just be the only person. Mm-hmm. And this is also nothing, you know, like it's that's the ugliest picture I think that there is like, okay, you busted your way to the top of somewhere and then you're just by yourself.
By yourself, and, enjoying the fruits of your labor by yourself. I completely.
And that's a lot, in this country, there is a lot of it, you know, especially with the foreigners, you know, it's like, But look, again, what you are doing today, I never, ever thought that I would be sitting here with you and Brandy as a different generation, that you have interest, because that's another thing here. You are old, man. You know, the moment you are over 50, you're old. Why do I have to listen to, you know, to that and whatever, whatever. And so to have this conversation between, I did that with another person, with, between generations. I think it's important. I think I have a say. I have experience and wisdom, but also the younger generation is bringing me into their world, showing me what's happening. When I see the younger generation there was playing with them, and how quick, even including you, how quick you are to find the thing. I mean, I love it because it keeps me going and it keeps me young, you know?
I mean, one of the things that I found that really touched me when we first met and you sent me that text and you were, because we met at a party that you were organizing. And afterwards, you sent me a text like, I have never seen a black female DJ before here. You know, that was like, damn. You know, because I see them all the time here now. I mean, especially post-pandemic. You know, it's like people were practicing CDJs in the house. So to conclude this conversation, I would ask you both, going back to the person you were in the moments you had, your first impressions of this place, knowing everything you know now, what would you say to that younger version of yourself?
It's hard.
I know, right?
I think I would say, just so you know, you can't win therapy. There's no end to that. I think I would say to myself, you can be a little less hard on yourself. Like, you got this. You can be a little less hard on you. I would definitely say, talk to your dad way more. Like, connect to what it means. When I left the U.S., I don't think I really knew what it meant to be black, because I'm mixed race and I grew up in this kind of in-between place. And then I came to Europe and then I just was black. And it meant that something else happened and I missed an opportunity when my dad was capable to explain to me a lot of things, to talk to him about this. And I think I would say to myself, take more breaks. Take way more breaks. Go to the beach.
Yes.
Going, what would I say to myself? That I would say, don't be so emotional, because that's what I was. Again, not being, and a lot of people told me, Paula, you are too hard on yourself. I heard that a lot. I was extremely disciplined. I didn't turn right or left, just trying to be the perfectionist or trying to be the best black in this country. That was really what I was going through when I was younger, you know. I was a people pleaser because I wanted them to feel good in my company. I wanted them to be able to stomach me being there. So all these things I was really trying to, that was what I was, you know. And so today I would say to, well, I don't have any of these problems anymore. You know, I don't go with them. They do follow me sometimes, but I'm, you know, but I know how to get rid of it. But I was constantly with this, you know, trying to be a good black, trying to never be in problems with the law, you know, you know, when I go to the shop, I consciously think that there is a detective there. So I don't, you know, I don't misplace my hand somewhere or whatever. Mm. I went through all this. So, but today, the detective is doing their job, if you know what I mean. They're doing their job. It has, I wouldn't say it has completely nothing to do with me being black, but a lot of that has chipped off, you know. Mm. So for me, it's, I'm a different person. I'm a different woman. I'm a different black woman. My blackness stay with me 100%. You can't take that away from me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.